Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, here we go.
Sarge, what's his name? Oh.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering on the Para-X Network. It's Stephanie here.
And hi, hello, everyone out in Radio Land. So we're back.
We are live tonight.
This is a live show here on June 20th. I was going to say June 25th. No, it's not June 25th. It is June 5th. Yeah, that's June how long 5th. We've been gone. I can't remember what day it is. I can't remember what month it is.
Oh, my gosh.
We had 2 weeks off.
We had 2 weeks off, and that's the longest we've had off since we had a monthly show. So it's been a year of we haven't had any. Did we even have one show, I wonder? Maybe one.
I think one.
But the rest have been all live. And we just had some things.
It was Halloween or something.
The Halloween or, oh yeah, it was Halloween.
Maybe we had July last year. July 4th. I think we've had a couple, but not like this, two in a row. That was crazy.
No.
I forgot who I was there for.
I know. Well, we both said, because these were planned. And so 2 weeks ago, it was funny because we were messaging about something on a Tuesday. And I said, Heidi, it feels so weird that we don't have a show tonight. What are we going to do with ourselves?
It was weird. But we had tons of stuff going on, and then I was out of town last week.
Yes. And we need to talk. You need to tell everybody. I'm so proud of Heidi, everyone, because everybody needs to give her congratulations. Because Heidi, you need to tell people where you were last week.
I was in the Great Smoky Mountains in the state of North Carolina, finishing up a training and certification that I was able to receive. It's been about a year that I've been working on that. And so I'm very proud of that. And I did officially receive my master's degree.
Yay!
So that was great. Yay! Thank you. Yay! So that was fun. We had a little ceremony and it was really cool. And I got all teary eyed and I was so happy. And the people I was with there are just, so cool. And everybody just is filled with this awesome heart energy and so supportive. So it just was such a cool experience. And then this backdrop of beautiful Smoky Mountains and this beautiful nature temple that we were in, it was just like, you can't even find that anywhere. So it was really magical. And I just got back the beginning of this week and ready to dive right back in. So I'm excited. But
So that's quite an accomplishment. So yeah, everybody, you know, clap for Heidi, because wow, master's degree, unbelievable. I mean, I never finished up my bachelor's degree, for heaven's sakes. I just had a little bit to go and then I was just done with that. it is what it is.
You know, and as I understand that not every, you know, degrees, you know, right. Some people want them, some people don't, some people need them, some people don't. I get it. It's cool all the way around. I had an associate degree for many years. And when the opportunity started to present itself that I was able to go back and finish my education and it was in a field that I was working in.
Right.
You know, which was a little helpful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I'm going to do it. And I was able to afford to do it. And that's another thing. And so I took the opportunity, which I never in a million years back in the day thought that that would even be possible or that I would want to. So I'm really grateful that all worked out and I'm happy and a little pat on my own back here.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, when I was going to school, I was young, right? I was college age. And I just remember, you know, I know so many people who graduate with these crazy degrees and then they end up being a bartender or a server or something totally not require him in a bachelor's degree. Yeah. I had an associate's degree too, and then I was, just a little bit short, like a year shorter of a bachelor's degree, and I was done. I didn't want to do it anymore. So, whatever, it is what it is.
Well, and I did the same thing. I went to school for art, and I ended up in retail management, which is cool. I mean, it was a great career. I loved it. I ended up switching into corporate management after that. But not using my college degree, which I'm glad I had it. Yeah. It was nice to have it. I don't know if I would have done anything differently if I could go back. I think it was fine. I don't know that I would have gone back into a retail management degree, even knowing what I know. It worked out the way it's supposed to. And I know people that are really successful that don't have a college degree. And I think or they just work wherever they work. And I don't know. I think it's all good no matter what you do.
It is.
As long
it
as
is.
You're happy and you're doing what you need to do. It's cool.
That's right.
But yay, it was fun. And woohoo.
We'll
have to have a little celebration sometime. Some night we'll have to get
folks
together and have a little fun fest or something.
That would be fun. Yeah. For sure.
Not on the night of a show. We're not doing that again, except for 4th of July week. We're going to play a...
Yeah, so
everybody knows.
We will let everybody know the week before, but the July 4th week, we're not going to be on either because everybody's on vacation and... we want to go be on vacation too. Oh my. And then there are a couple of other times that maybe one of us will be missing. Like I'm going to be out on San Juan Island during a week, in July. And I kind of thought maybe I could go to the temple there, not the temple, but the, mausoleum. And Casey had booked us for a tattoo appointment that night. So, but maybe I can call in. I'm still going to plan on calling in. I just might be, having a tattoo done at the same time, which might be interesting.
That might be interesting.
I'll be the first
one.
And
I can hold down the fort.
I'll be the first one to go. So maybe my tattoo will be done. And then Casey will still be getting hers because we're getting the same thing. It's going to be an island fun thing,
That's cool.
Anyhow, so we have an interesting subject tonight that one of our listeners actually said you guys should do this, right, Heidi?
It was. It was a listener suggestion. Mike AZ, who hops in our chat room on a regular basis. I don't know if he's going to be able to tonight. I think he might have had to work or something anyway, but he did send some stories of his ahead of time so that we could read those on the air, which I'm really happy about because they're really neat stories. And we've got some stories from other people and anybody that's going to be listening tonight, if you want to go into the chat room and submit your stories, or if we can sneak into Facebook and grab stories through our Facebook page too, we can maybe read them from there. Mm-hmm. But the topic that he brought up was messages from loved ones who've passed on, stories of, things that have been happening or found or experienced, and you really just know it's someone that is a family member or friend or someone close to you who's passed on. And so he gave us this topic before we went on our little hiatus. Mm-hmm. And so we were excited to, gather some of these stories and bring them to you tonight. And I know I have one as well. It's actually not my personal story. I've had a lot of stuff happen, but I thought it'd be more fun to share.
And now that we're talking, I have one too, actually. So I just remembered it.
Everybody's got one.
Everybody, when we think about it, I know Heidi said, what do you have? I said, I don't know. Because when you're put on the spot, it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember anything.
Think of a story now. And it's like, I can't.
It's like, yeah, no. So, because they do, I know that my dad is with me a lot, and, he came during our seance last fall, too, and I know he's, so I'm just going to start with my story so I don't forget it, and it's not that I will forget, and actually it didn't happen to me, but it was my dad, and so what happened was a few years ago, my husband Jerry had to have a procedure done. And they put him out for just a little bit, and I was not in the room. And he said when he was awake, the doctor was standing there, and he was talking, and my dad, who he died in 2005, and so did my mom, appeared at the foot of his bed. And he said, there was Keenan, and he had his overalls on, because my dad always wore overalls. He grew up on a farm and wore them. We buried him in his overalls. And he was there, and he told Jerry, he said, tell him it wasn't his fault. And Jerry's like, what do you mean? And he said, tell him it wasn't his fault. And Jerry's like, okay. And he said, and by the way, tell Steffi that Betty loves it when she remembers her birthday. And Jerry's like, wait a minute, and then he disappeared. Well, poor Jerry went into this procedure. Casey and I were sitting with him, you know, and I said, oh, it's the 26th of February. It's Mom's birthday. We have to go to the cemetery after this, Casey, and bring her some yellow roses, because we always do. So there you go. But so the thing was, he said, tell him it wasn't his fault. So we thought he must mean my brother, one of my brothers, you know. So Jerry called one of my brothers, Joe, down in Kansas, and Joe said, no, I bet he meant Chris, you know. And my brother Chris lived at the house during the week, you know. And after my mom died, somebody had to be with him, my dad, all the time, because he had a little dementia. So when Chris wasn't there, then one of us had to stay there on the weekends, you know. But it just happened on his watch on a Thursday night or a Friday night. I don't remember now which one it was. But my dad had a habit of getting up in the middle of the night, right? Because he didn't know what he was doing, kind of, sort of. And he was all there, but he just had a little dementia going on. And he went in the bathroom, and Chris didn't get up right away. And he fell and hit his head and had some brain damage, was in the hospital. And then he just gave up, right? I mean, 3 days later, he was gone. Mm-hmm. You know, we were all with him when he died. But so Chris went down and Jerry went down and talked to Chris, and Chris just started bawling because he had lived with this guilt for all these years that he felt it was his fault that my dad passed away, you know, that it was on his watch that he fell and hurt his head. But then moreover, then he's like, and why is he still hanging out here? He should be up in heaven with Mom. He stayed here to tell me all this stuff. And we said, well, no, we think they can, you know, you can kind of come and go still once mm-hmm. you, once, you know, whatever. But anyway, so that's my story. But that's kind of a cool one, right?
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell him it's not his fault.
Yeah. Aw, that's nice.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I have a story that this happened quite a few years ago, and I didn't even know that it happened for probably 10 years mm-hmm. after this event. And so it was my mom. My mom and dad got divorced when I was 12, I think, mm-hmm. 13, something. I was young. And so they were separated, divorced for a long time. And then he ended up passing away when I was 23.
Mm.
So about, 23 years ago. So I didn't find out about this until, I don't know, 10 or so years ago, maybe not even mm-hmm. that long ago. And it happened probably couple years or so after he passed away, my dad passed away. But so my mom was driving in where we grew up. She was in Burnsville, actually, Minnesota is where I grew up. And she was driving the car and had done some random street. She's at a stoplight at a T. She was going to go left, and she's waiting for the light to turn green. And the road that's crossing in front of her is a, you know, 35 mile an hour. It's not, you know, we're in little mm-hmm. Burnsville with not on the highways or anything. So she's sitting there on the left-hand turn lane waiting to turn left. And this guy was standing on the corner to the right side of her car, standing there looking like he was going to go across the street when the light turned as well. So he was waiting like she was waiting. And the light turns green, and then he cuts in front of her instead and goes this way. Like, he should have been walking that way already. Because that was the green light. So instead of going with her, he cuts in front of her and starts walking. And she's like, are you kidding me? Yeah. What is your deal? You had this whole time to walk in front. Whatever. Yeah. So she's waiting. And just as he gets almost to the headlight of her car to be clear of her car, this car comes screaming through the intersection, going way faster than 35 miles an hour.
Oh, my. Right. Coming the other way. So he just prevented her from being in an accident.
Massive accident. Yeah. And she was shocked because she's looking at this man who had just kept her from going into the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns and looks at her and smiled, and it was my dad. And then he disappeared.
Yeah. What a disappeared. Cool story.
And she just sat there, and she ended up turning around and going back home.
Yeah.
And I mean, because they'd been divorced for a long time, mm-hmm. and then this happened a few years after mm-hmm. he died, I believe. And she was so shaken up from all of the things that should have happened.
Yeah.
You know, if he wouldn't have been there, she would have gone and hit this, T-boned in her side of the vehicle.
Right.
And it was going way faster than 35 miles an hour. I mean, and no airbags back then. I don't think she would have made it.
You wouldn't know.
So, but he turned, gave her a smile. She realized who it was, and then he disappeared. And she was like, oh, it took her a long time to process it. It took her over a decade to tell me about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild? So anyway, that's the story I wanted to share. If you have any stories of interesting things that happened or touching moments of someone that passed, please share them with us. If you'd like to go into the chat room, we will read your story. I had, like I said, a couple of folks send me their stories ahead of time after we made these posts that they shared. So we'll read those as well. So we have, I don't know, Steph, if you want to read, have one that's dropped in the chat room from Karen.
Yeah.
If you want to read that one.
All right. So she starts off with, she says, my otherworldly encounters with my grandfather occurred while I was sleeping. I would have dreams where he would predict events in my life. He informed me about the birth of my second daughter. He died 2 weeks before my wedding, and he knew he wouldn't be there because before he died, before he fell into the coma he was in, he apologized to me for it. One dream was particularly significant. I was entering a parking ramp, and as I drove up the levels, I realized that there were seven. Each level was more beautiful than the next. I stopped at the sixth level and got out of my car. I approached groups of people milling around on a grassy lawn-like landscape. The landscape was filled with flowers and gravestones. It was in color and had that dreamy quality you see depicted in movies. I did not realize yet that this was a cemetery, and I tried to get the attention of one person after another, but to no avail. I did not realize yet that this was a cemetery. I tried to get... and then I realized with a jolt that I must be dead. Finally, I saw my grandfather, and he spoke to me. He explained that no one here could hear me except he, and if I ever wanted to talk to him in the future, for whatever reason, he'd be there. I remember chatting for a while and then being sent back down the levels and out onto the street again. I had other dreams with Grandpa in them. One dream took place in a movie theater. He came in and sat down beside me and told me that I would have a second baby daughter. He also appeared before I could ask him more questions. He disappeared before I could ask him more questions. Gradually, I stopped seeing him in my dreams.
Oh,
that's sweet.
And I think people come to us in our dreams sometimes.
They do.
Because that's when it might be easier to get through to us.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. My dad, I know, one time it was funny because I dreamt about both my mom and dad. And, I've said on this show before that, my dad comes to me a lot, but my mom. And one night I dreamt about both of them. And it was a dumb dream, right? We were somewhere at some reception or something, and both mom and dad were there. But, you wake up so happy because you got to see him and you got to hear him. And I asked all my siblings, I said, because I have two brothers and a sister, and I asked every one of them, did you dream about mom and dad in the last few days? And they all said yes. So isn't that cool? It's like they all just wanted to come and say hi, and they were okay, and make sure we were okay is what I think. I don't know.
That's
cool. What I'd like to think.
That's cool. Yeah. I used to hear when I was in college the first time, back when I was, in my 20s, early 20s, and I lived with my grandparents, and my grandfather died when I was living there. And I could hear him, though, every night, get up, go to the bathroom, swishing. But I think that was more residual.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was him. But yeah, my dad used to come to me in some dreams after he passed, but then it faded after a while.
Yeah.
I know he had things to go do, and it was, and there was one time that I don't know if this is real or not, but it felt real. I was awake when this happened, but my sister had just had her son Emmett was born, and he was born with a lot of it was really tragic. I mean, they didn't think he would survive, and that went on for about a year. And there was one morning, I'd get up in the morning and I'd do my meditations, and something was happening with him. I think he might have had some kind of surgery. I had to go back to the hospital, or something was really bad. And I was praying, for angels to watch over him. And for some reason, I thought about my dad, who I hadn't thought about. And I said, if you could hang out with Emmett and make sure he's okay, that would be great. I mean, anyone that we can get to help, please, all hands on deck on this one. And I never ask for a sign, because I know better, because I trust.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so distraught with this whole thing with my nephew, and I was it was so sad and scary. And I just thought, please just let me know you got this message. If you could, that would be great. And I hopped in my car, and this was in the winter time, and I hopped in my car to go to work, and it was still dark out. This is back when I worked at my corporate job. And so I hopped in my car, and I turned on the music, And my dad liked all kind of music. He just loved every kind of music. And I remember he used to like ZZ Top, right?
Oh, funny. And ZZ Top was on.
ZZ Top was playing. Ah! And I just started cracking up because I'm like, okay, I got it. And I turned down to my side street. I was living here at the time and where I am now in St. Louis Park here. And there, you know, St. Louis Park is starting to turn into Wild Kingdom. I mean, there are every kind of creature known to man hanging out here in St. Louis Park now. And so it's like a small zoo here. Mm-hmm. And I pull out of my alley and I turn and I'm driving on this road here in my neighborhood. And this huge gray wolf is walking down the street. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Wow.
It was huge. And it was walking right towards my car.
Was it a real animal or a spirit animal?
I don't know. But it wasn't see-through.
Yeah.
That's all I know. Oh. So it was because my headlights hit it and I could see the shadow behind it.
Okay.
And it was dark out and it was winter and I could see it walking and it had that slump.
Yeah.
You know, the head is down where the shoulders are up and it's kind of walking real slow and just staring right ahead at me. And I thought, oh my gosh. And I was so shocked that I just slowed down and watched it walk by.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned my car because I didn't want to get in an accident. And then I turned and looked and I didn't see it. But it was also dark because my headlights weren't shining that way when I turned. So it was kind of, everything was dark. And so I don't know if it was real or not.
Yeah.
But I thought, boy, if that's not a sign.
No kidding.
I don't know what is.
No kidding.
Because I just got double whammied.
Yeah.
Even if it was real or not. Yeah, right. I thought, oh my gosh. So that I thought was interesting to have that happen.
Yeah.
So that's those are some of my stories. Yeah. I know Karen's saying what? About probably about the wolf. I would imagine it wasn't real, but it looked everything about it looked absolutely solid and real and the movements and I don't know. I've seen a lot of weird stuff here in St. Louis Park, so maybe.
Hard to say.
It is. Because we've got coyotes all over the place and
well, I know. We have coyotes by me, too. I mean,
there's everywhere.
There's
bears and stuff now.
Oh, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Well, that's because we've encroached on their territory so much that they're all coming back now.
Yeah.
But, crazy.
So that was interesting. So little, you know, signs from spirit. And so I have a couple of, we'll read a couple of stories, too. And if anybody has stories they want to pop into our chat room. Or if you go to our Facebook page at The Gathering Radio, you can put it into our message, send us a message. Excuse me.
We do have a couple of people that have talked on the, maybe we should save our stories for after the break because we've only got about 7 minutes. But Bob is saying that my mom was driving in a blizzard and couldn't see where to drive and a big Coke semi-trailer with lights all over it came out of nowhere. She followed it all the way home to her turnoff, and my dad drove truck, and he had the Coca-Cola cowboy on his truck. He loved Coca-Cola, and Mom swears it was Dad leading her home.
Aww.
So I'm guessing Dad passed away, and so that's cool.
That's nice.
Keeping her safe, for sure. And then Braden is saying, I think for me, dreams with past loved ones can be more painful than helping. I'm a lucid dreamer and experience sensory stuff, smell and touch. So when I wake up and realize a hug or whatever never happened, it can be a bit sad.
Which I can understand.
I can understand that too. I guess, you know, for me, I just love to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, I just wake up with a smile on my face and think, oh, Mom and Dad were here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you love to see them and touch them and hear them, you
know? No, I appreciate seeing them in the dream time because, you know, if they can't come through when, you know, if they need to communicate with us, it's one of the easier times to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we certainly have the right to say, don't, you know,
yes.
I can't, I've known a lot of people that it's just too much.
Yeah.
It's too overwhelming to be contacted by someone who's passed on. They're not ready to process those emotions and I get it. But then that's part of our, boundaries that we have to set and say, not okay.
Yeah.
I used to know a gal, that her dad would visit and scare the heck out of her. And so she said, I love you, but I can't handle this. It's too scary for me. So find a different way. And so he did, he started giving her numbers. And so I thought that was helpful because, you know, she just wasn't ready to deal.
Yeah.
And so that's part of, you know, where we have to set our boundaries, too, and just say, you know, I'm here to be human. And that part of this experience, I'm not cool with, that's whole seeing spirits or communicating in my dreams or whatever it is, you know, that's part of our responsibility as a human to say, I got to set my boundaries. Yeah. So,
I agree.
So that, that's the Coca-Cola thing. How cool is that? That almost sounds like a commercial.
I know, right?
The Coca-Cola truck leading her home in the blizzard. That's cool.
Yes.
We've got a couple other stories here, and then we can share the ones that were sent ahead of time. Should I read this next one from Rini?
From Rini. I know Rini. Yeah. So let's read that one.
Let's see here. I just got home from the hospital, and I was sitting in my car crying with my head on the steering wheel, crying because I found out I was pregnant, thinking, how am I going to do this with a 7-year-old and trying to redo a house? I heard someone say, Rini, it's going to be okay. He will be a wonderful addition to your family. I looked up, and there was my great-grandfather smiling.
Aww. And now you have Odin. I love it. And Odin's such a sweetie pie.
Aww.
So that's cool. I never heard that story before. So that's awesome.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, it's definitely a lot easier for them to communicate to us in our dream. But because don't you think sometimes that we're just, our minds are running 90 million miles a second when we're awake? It's almost impossible for them to talk to us when we're awake. You know?
Right. Well, we do, because, you know, most of us are here, and this is why we're here, is to be human.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to have these human experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And when we really dig into that human experience, we're detached somewhat from the spirit world, or a lot, or a lot. And it's fine, you know, but it's okay to step out and reconnect. And, you know, so, they're like, okay, well, we want to help you, or we want to connect with you, but I understand too that we're here to be human and dive fully into this experience. And so, if they got to get in when they can get in, if they're trying to help or connect or whatever, then they'll do it when they got to do it. And that's interesting stuff though. And let's see if there's another. Oh, I don't think I had a. I thought there was another story. I don't think we have one here in the chat yet. But if you have one, go ahead and send them because we're going to continue to read these here after.
So we're getting a lot of really cool stories. You know, now that we're talking, I mean, I'm sure we'll all remember more. But like, you know, I just told Heidi when you put on the spot, it's like, what? I don't know anything. What are you talking about?
What's your story? And go.
Well, you know, one of the things that I remember is when my grandma passed away, she came by to say goodbye. Isn't that weird? But, you know, I have heard other people say that too. But I mean, she was at the hospital and I clearly remember feeling her spirit in the house, just like she stopped by to say bye.
Yep.
You know?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have some, I mean, I could tell stories. I could probably fill up 4 shows of just stories. If I rattled them off very fast, it would take 4 shows.
Yeah. And,
you know, so I won't, but it's so, and having people come in that I work, you know, they come into the studio and they set appointments up to talk to me because they're trying to process some of these experiences that they just don't, it's too much sometimes, you know, that they're like, did that really happen? Do I really, you know, can I even believe it? Do I, you know, and so it's really, I love working with people that have experiences that, you know, when you can help validate, like that really happened. You know, there was someone that was reaching out to you saying, I'm okay, or I need to let you know this. Or I had one gal come into the studio and her dad had just passed away and she was so just, it was crushing. And she had a family. She had already had kids and, you know, just, it was crushing. And so she came in after she was able to gather herself together and say, I need to, can you talk to him? And I said, I don't know. We'll see. And she came in and I'd done some work ahead of time because when I'm talking or looking for someone, for you to sit there and watch me stare off into space for however long it takes is not fun. Mm-hmm. So I like to do stuff ahead of time. And so I knew she wanted to talk to her dad. And basically, for whatever reason, I got 5 statements. I heard 5 statements. So I wrote them down one after another and I had no idea what they meant. I just like, this is this. And then the next one, this is, she came in and she goes, can you connect with them? And I said, well, I might have already. I said, I did this ahead of time because I knew you wanted to talk to your dad. So I got 5 statements and I don't know what these mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to read them to you. And so I read each one of them and she just sat there and, you know, okay. And so I'm getting nothing from her. I'm thinking, okay, she doesn't know what these mean either. Oh, well, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. Yeah. So I'm reading them. And then she reaches into her purse and takes out a piece of paper that had five questions.
And they were the answers to the five questions. Wow. That's awesome.
So I gave her the piece of paper and she was just, it was hard, but it was, she felt some kind of peace too, knowing that it's not the end. And because you just, as much as some people, you know, people have these strengths, faith strengths and connections to the divine, but then when something like this rocks your world, I can, you know, you question it sometimes and doubt and all these things. And I know that that's what she was feeling. And to have this happen is just, it really reestablished her faith and brought some comfort. And so that was really helpful for her. And I'm glad I could do that.
Yep.
But it was just interesting. She pulls out this piece of paper. And she didn't even have time to ask me the questions. It was just, I'm like, well, apparently he knew what you were wanting to know and wanted you to have these answers.
And here's the answers. Mm-hmm. That is awesome story. So, I love it.
Yeah. So that was fun. So, okay. Oh, I wonder
we're
if
past
we take
our
a break.
Time. Yeah, we need to go on break. Yeah.
So we're here on the ParaX Network. We're going to take a quick little couple minute break and send us your stories. We will read more when we come back.
Yeah. Stay with us.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making ParaX part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, ParaX.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No.
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the ParaX Radio Network.
Oh, hey Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to ParaX, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling. The Calling. The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on ParaX.
Welcome back. We're both ready to jump in. We haven't been here for 2 weeks. We're ready to go. Welcome back, everybody, to The Gathering here on the ParaX Network. And we're talking about loved ones who have passed that have brought us messages after... Yeah. They've moved on, and we've had some interesting stories that people have shared here in the chat room.
And so we have a request. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, if you could send it to us via direct message so it doesn't get lost in all of the chat room chatter, that would be awesome. So in order to do that, you just have to click on either Heidi's name or my name, and then it'll come up with private chat or direct message or something, and then just click on that and then just write out your story, and then it won't get lost in the shuffle. So you don't have to, but it just makes it easier for us.
Yeah, just so we don't miss anything.
Yeah.
And I know we haven't said that before, so that was a helpful tip from our producer, Sarge, so thank you. Mm-hmm. And, okay, so we got a couple of stories that were sent to us before the show because of one reason or another. One gal who's actually been on our show, Ellen, she has her dog, and our dogs are like our children.
Yes.
And I know this is the same for her.
Yes.
She had a dog that passed away in January of this mm-hmm. year. And so just heartbreaking. I know the feeling. I know you know the feeling yes. of having an animal pass.
Yes.
And she knew that her little pup was okay because she would find these pink feathers.
Isn't that cool?
Similar to the ones that she had after she would get a grooming. She would find them in the house. And so I thought, oh, that's really sweet.
That is really sweet.
You know? Just to have that. Like, hey, I'm okay.
I'm cool. Yeah.
And seriously, like, who isn't the most awesome person to have little pink feathers put on their dog after getting groomed? Like, that's right? So cute. So I love that anyway.
No.
So, okay, we have Mike. And this is Mike who gave us this idea for the show. And if we keep having a good response like this, maybe we'll do it again.
Yep.
You know, because, again, I think Mike had said everybody's got a story.
Yes.
Or knows someone has a story. And so... he had two that he shared here. I'll read the first one. He had his 90-year-old father-in-law's wife of 61 years passed away a year and a half ago. A friend gave him a dragonfly with a story of metamorphosis to remember her by. He took it with him everywhere. His daughter also carried a handkerchief embroidered with a cardinal by her mother. She carried it with her until she misplaced it and couldn't find it for 6 months. She could not find it anywhere. After he died last week, she took the dragonfly, but dropped it in my Forerunner between the seat and the console.
Oh no!
I began to tear the seats apart to find it, and guess what fell out? The dragonfly inside the handkerchief.
Oh my goodness, that's a good one,
right?
That is a good one. Yep.
She said, even though he had cleared it several times since the handkerchief disappeared, he had cleared out the vehicle and everything. He said it gave them goosebumps, but we knew they were back together.
I love it.
Isn't that sweet?
That is really sweet. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
His other story, he said a friend whose mother passed away 5 years earlier than her father passed away. Her brother was at the funeral. Okay, let me say the names here because I didn't read them and now I should have. So this friend, the mother's name, is Barbara, and she passed away 5 years earlier. And then the father, Ken, passed away. Now, Barbara's brother was at the funeral for Ken, but he was in poor health. And as they got out of the car driving from the funeral to the cemetery, the program from her funeral 5 years earlier fell out of the back of the car.
Wow.
Right? So wow. Everyone knew Barbara was there for her husband's funeral and to check on the brother.
Wow.
Get out of town.
I know. I mean, I'm just sitting here looking at you like, oh.
I know, we're like staring at each other with our mouths hanging open. Like, you guys, if this was a live broadcast that you could see us, you'd die hysterically laughing.
I wish you could see us because, oh my God, some of these shows that we have, we do both sit there and look at each other with our mouth hanging wide open. And that's one of those times.
It's what I just love about being in this field is that we're still surprised.
I know.
I mean,
right?
We deal with this stuff all the time. Paranormal, odd happenings, weird stuff. And we're both still sitting looking at each other like, you've got to be kidding me. That's right. Amazing. Anyway, so I thought that was
great stories.
You guys should, we'll do a video sometime and you'll laugh hysterically.
Well, Sarge is laughing because he can see us.
He can see us. And who knows if he's secretly filming us and posting it somewhere about these two goofballs that he has to produce their show and whatever, which is, that's fine. I'm going to have to go and check the, I tell people to look at Facebook and then I'm not sharing the page. So, okay. Or looking at the page, but I don't see anybody went in there. So we're good. Let's see here. Oh, we have in the chat room, we have a story. Do you have the story or is it on me? I think it's on me. Okay. I'll read this one. So this is Braden. He said, this isn't one of the more pleasant experiences I've had, but when my cat Mimi passed, I had a dream where there was a pitch black room with a single spotlight and my cat appeared in the spotlight. I got to pet her and then a deafening cannon went off and I looked back and she was gone and I woke up in a cold sweat. Well, that sounds startling.
A cannon?
A cannon?
Oh.
Boom, I guess.
Oh.
Went off and she was gone. Huh.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I'd have to think about that. I'm sure there was some meaning with that. And the fact that she could come back and he could pet her again is awesome. Yeah. But I know that, that again, it's still, it's hard when we're not ready to process stuff. So, so I understand that that can be troubling, when we're not.
Oh yeah. Well, ready
for that. So anyway, well, I have another story here from Marty, and I received this one today through our email that I put out there on our ad. And I don't know if Marty, it looks like a, the way it's spelled is a man.
Okay.
M-A-R-T-Y, not M-A-R-T-I. So I'm guessing this is a man.
Okay.
My mother passed away on February 14th of 2000. I loved her very much, and she was the light of my life. I was a very rebellious teenager and put my mother through so many hard times. There were many nights she waited up for me and I never came home. Every day I feel guilty over this.
Mm.
I was at my childhood home with my dad and my son. It was Friday, February 18th of 2000. So this is 4 days after she passed. It was about 11 p.m. and I was up alone crying over my mom in the living room. Oh, he said mom. I wonder if he's from England.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mom.
Crying over my mom in the living room. I asked her to forgive me for being such a bleepy kid and bringing her pain. I asked her forgiveness and said how sorry I was. All of a sudden, the living room was filled with her perfume, the one she always wore. I ran to the bathroom to see if a bottle fell and broke. Nothing was broken, and there was no smell in the bathroom. I went back to the living room, and the smell was stronger. I looked at the couch, and one of the cushions was indented like someone was sitting there.
Oh.
And then a warm breeze went by me, and the indent from the cushion was gone. I knew that she forgave me for all I put her through, and I never smelled the perfume again.
Wow.
Just got goosebumps.
Me too. It's like, okay, I'm fine. I forgive you. But, you know, a parent's love is unconditional, right? No matter what they do to us, we're still going to love them no matter what. So, but that's cool. That's awesome.
I'm gonna veto that statement because I know that's not true for everybody. But in some cases, yes, it is. In this case, it sounds like yes. That's cool.
It is cool. But, you know, that is very cool. But I'm still thinking about this cat one where she was there. But, you know, now, Heidi, I know that when my Lolita passed away, and it's been 4 years ago now.
Has it been 4 years?
It's been four years in October. God. Can you believe it? And so my Lolita was my little island girl. She was a kid, my first cat that I ever brought home, and she was from San Juan Island, which is where we go. We used to go every year. Now it's like every other year. But I just couldn't resist, and she was found the campground where we were staying. They found this litter of kittens and take her home because I just fell in love with her immediately.
She's so cute.
Yes, and she had big eyes, and she was so small. She weighed like a pound or something. And I said, we have two big dogs. I can't take her home, but we brought her home. Loved her, and she was sweet 16 when she passed away, and I just died. I still miss her. But, you know, I still see her every once in a while. And I know after she passed away, She appeared to both, to all of us in the family quite often, because she used to sit under the dining room table and look at us, like underneath the chair and look up, you know, and it was like she did that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she still does. I mean, that's still where I see her. But, and you said when your puppy passed.
Oh, yeah.
Last year,
I forgot about that.
Remember? Because I said, oh, just watch. He'll be around. And he was, right? He thought he heard him outside.
Yeah. It was winter time because he died in December. And I was sitting at my computer, and I still have another dog, and I let him out to go out to the bathroom, and then I let him in, and I went back to my computer, and it was 10, 15 minutes later, and I heard scratching at the door.
Yeah.
And I thought, just instant panic, oh my gosh, I thought I let them in, I can't believe they've been out there that long, and as I'm hustling through the house to get to the side door, I realized that the one that had passed was the one that scratched at the door.
Yeah.
And I looked, and my other one was inside. He was already in. And I went, oh, my goodness. He came home. And I just melted, and I cried. Yeah. And it was awesome because I'm like, oh, Murphy, he found his way back home.
Yeah.
And that was – it was fantastic because – and I had to go and check anyway. And, no, he wasn't out there. But he was out there. But he wasn't. Not physically. But I had to go open the door anyway. But I just thought, oh, that's great. He found his way home. So that was very cool.
And I do think the fur babies are always around, you know, because I know my Sadie used to terrorize Duncan when Duncan was young and we first brought him home. And Sadie had only been gone for like 6 months or something. And I remember he sleeps in the same spot she did, right? And he used to just be scared to death. And I just know with Sadie saying, hey, This is my mom. You know what I mean? It was just funny because that's what we used to say. Oh, Sadie's terrorizing him, you know? And then we'd laugh. But anyway, good stories, though. These are awesome. These are awesome stories. And it's fun to think back. So see, we're remembering things even now as we're talking. Oh, remember? And you told me this and remember that. And yeah. So if anybody else has any other stories, you know, do pipe in here. This is very fun. But yeah, I think, you know, it just goes to prove that life goes on, right? Even though we might be out of this plane, we're somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, you know, and it, as hard as it is, it can be comforting to some people. And I know we've had some people saying, hey, I don't like this, or it's really scary. Right. And I get that. Because some people, it's too much to process, or, you know, it's something that when I work with people at the studio, I mean, personal boundaries are not limited to the physical. You know, this is energy stuff. It's spiritual stuff. It's, you know, mental, emotional, whatever. It's, you know, we're here to do our work and get things done and keep ourselves safe and whatever. So, I mean, if we're having experiences with spirit, as good intentioned as it is or not, it's sometimes just not what we're wanting to do.
Yeah.
And so we have to say that's not okay. And that's okay to say it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you don't have to just be spirit in this doormat to any spirit that wants to communicate with us, whether we know them or not. It's not why we're here. So, and Karen's saying on the chat room, she said she likes her visitations. They're emotional, but that's what life is about. And
yeah,
I agree.
That's,
you know,
true.
We're here to feel and be, and, you know, sometimes it's messy and sometimes it's beautiful, and that's life.
That's right.
So,
yeah. And I do think that's true. If you don't want it, it won't happen because, you know, you're setting your personal boundary, right? Just like Heidi said, you know, I don't want it to happen. You know, same holds true with, like, in our family, you know, the four of us, I think we all have a good measure of, you know, clairvoyance. And my brother and I are so open to it. But then my other brother and sister don't want anything to do with it. They're happy to hear my stories. And Chris, you know, we'll talk about things that he's, you know, he's not a paranormal investigator, but, you know, but they don't want anything to do with it. And I always say, come on, you know, but same with them, you know, they just, you know, they just don't. So yeah, you can set those boundaries. And I remember after Mom and Dad passed away too, I remember that Joe gave a solid DVD of Mom and Dad talking about something. I don't remember. I think one of his kids was interviewing them for a paper or something. And I just thought it was so great to watch it. But my sister, no, she couldn't watch it. Neither could Chris. I don't think they were just, it was just too much for them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah. You know, and it's interesting too, because I do meet with clients a lot and, you know, people do come to me because they want, you know, they want some kind of connection. And sometimes they get, you know, they get something, sometimes they don't. And sometimes they got it right in their house and they just didn't even see it or didn't even think, like, they brushed it off or whatever. Sometimes it's not so subtle. Oh, I have a story that, God, this happened like 8-9 years ago. This gal was dating a guy. They were in college and he was in a car accident and killed. And she was, his whole family was just distraught. And it was a horrible tragedy. He was young and it was an accident. You know, it wasn't anything that, you know, it just was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to us, she came to me and a couple of people and said, you know, is he okay? Like, what happened? And so I got a list of things. And one of the things that I told her is that I had seen a heart. And it looked like it was a piece of jewelry, and it was on a necklace or something. And I said, that is for you. I said, I think you recently got one and it's from him. And she just lost it. And she said that at the funeral, his third grade teacher or something, like someone that was not really, I mean, she felt compelled for whatever reason to give this gal a heart necklace with the stone on it, or this little locket or whatever it was. It was some heart
really
on this neck. Yeah. And so she went to this funeral and said, I need to give this to you.
Wow.
And so she took it. She was like, well, thank you. She didn't know. But then when she heard this, she's like, and she just thought, oh my God.
Ooh,
so it was this guy communicating with whoever he could get to. So apparently it was his third grade teacher or whatever, gets this heart pendant necklace thing and gives it to this gal, and nobody's knowing, understanding why. Mm-hmm. And then here, a few weeks later, comes this message saying that was from him, from someone like, I didn't
That's
know
crazy.
That. How is that? How would I know
no,
that?
How would you know that?
There's no way.
No.
But I saw her receiving something. I said, you just got it. And it's from him, wherever it came from.
Yeah.
And she's like, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh, God.
So that, but that's, you know, here comes spirit going, I'm okay. I want you to know I'm okay. I'm letting you know in whatever way I can. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I think it's cool when they, well, if it helps. If it doesn't help, then I guess I'm sorry. But, and sometimes they don't communicate. That's the kicker of the deal, is sometimes you want to hear or receive or whatever, and they can't, mm-hmm. or they're not supposed to, or whatever reason, you know. I've had family members that when they've passed, they were in such a state from being sick or whatever, that I told everybody, I'm like, don't try and connect with them, or whoever it was, like, leave them alone for now. Because they're in this place of healing, and it's almost like if you want to see someone so bad, you rip them out of the hospital.
Yes.
To bring them home. Like, you need to be home with us. We miss you so much. We're going to rip you out of the hospital. It's like, mm-hmm. wow, what a bad idea. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes mm-hmm. I would think, not every mm-hmm. time, but that's what it was in this case. Like, don't rip him out of his spiritual hospital right now. He really needs this time for healing. So don't call on him so often that he feels compelled to tell you he's okay, which is going to disrupt this process. And how would you know? You would never know. I mean, I got the message, so I was telling everybody, but I know that happens, you know, because we do. We want some kind of message or whatever. And if they're supposed to come, excuse me, or they can come, they can, they will, you know, if they can get through. So, and anyway, so yeah, I've had some, you know, with it, just nothing. Like, don't say anything. Don't do anything. Don't, you know, let's just leave them alone for now until they can get to their place where they can come back. I remember in that one instance where it was like, don't go after him. Don't try and connect with him. Don't bring him in. And a few months later, I had a dream then that I was out hiking, and there was this line of people. We were going up this trail, up this big hill or whatever. It's all forested, whatever. Lights coming through the tops of the trees. It was really beautiful. And the person who was hiking in front of me turned around, and it was this person smiling at me. I'm like, oh, they're at the hospital. Awesome. So then I told the family, okay, everybody, you know, he's out and about, go ahead if you want to talk to him or call on him or whatever. May or may not get a hold of you, but you know, at least you can now, like, everything's better. And I know I'm sure most people think I'm a little nuts, but I don't care, it's the way it is. But it was like, okay, he's out, everybody, if you want to go for it. Yeah. And I knew that he'd probably get around and give some messages to people, so that was good. So yeah, spirits connecting with us after they've moved on. It's an interesting topic. And like we talked about before, I think it happens a lot. More than we maybe think.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I think sometimes we just dismiss things, or we think it's
yeah.
coincidence or
yeah.
So anyway, so if anybody has any other, I know one of the things that I was working on right before the show, a friend of mine, Bob, had sent me a text, and we're not sure where this is going yet. And I asked him, I said, you know, keep working on this because there might be something to it. He said, and he sent pictures too. It's really cute.
Oh.
And he said, there's a bird that's been sitting on the front window of our house, and he pecks at the window. He's like, peck, peck, peck.
Oh.
And then he flies away, and he goes and perches, somewhere else, like a tree or something, and then he comes back, pecks, pecks, pecks. And he's been there about 2 days. And so he's like, he's here now. And so he takes a picture of the bird just sitting on the, look at this. It's hysterical. So here's this little bird sitting on the windowsill.
Yeah.
You guys can't see it. I'm sorry, Radio Land. but he takes a picture of this little bird sitting there, pecking
away.
Awesome.
Whoops. It's a yellow bird. Is that a finch?
A finch, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's super cute. Mm-hmm. Finch? Now that I'm thinking about it, I had to look that up for someone. And I think it's a sign of good fortune. And it might be that spirit. Let me look it up here quick. So he said, he goes, I think it's trying to tell us something. And I said, well, did you ask it? I'm going to look it up here while I'm talking, so excuse me. So I said, well, you should ask him. And he said, okay. And so he goes, well, I don't have anything. I'm not getting anything yet. And I said, well, he goes, every time I go over to the window, it flies away to the bird feeder, but then it'll come back. you know, it'll go away and sit in the tree or the bird feeder. Then it'll come back. It's been like 2 days now. And I said, well, just talk to him. And I said, just sit real quiet. I said, because sometimes, like you said earlier, right? Mm-hmm. You have all this stuff in your head. And, you know,
try to clear your head a little bit.
And your family and your TV and your whatever.
Gosh, yes. So I have another story that was private messaged. And she's saying the other day that her mom had been at her house for about a week. She lives somewhere else. And my mom would always ask her dad to let her know that he was okay by shaking her bed. Well, the next morning, my mom was a little off. And my daughter got up and said, all night her bed was shaking. Tell grandpa to leave me alone when I sleep. And tell grandma to quit asking him to shake the bed. That's cool.
Oh, my God. Right?
And I know that her daughter, I'm not going to say their names just in case, you know, whatever they're listening, but her daughter is very gifted. She's a very gifted. She has a lot of gifts. So that's a pretty cool story, too.
That is cool. That's interesting.
So did you look up the finch thing?
I did. Okay. I did post in the chat room. It said goldfinch. And this is Google. I Googled it. I'm not getting anything like totally. I mean, maybe it's right. But I looked this up for someone else in a book somewhere, and I got similar information. The symbolism was created by various cultures in the Asian, African, and European content. Native American people considered goldfinch to be a symbol of happiness and prosperity. They also thought that the goldfinch, with its bright colors, was a symbol of joy and positive energy.
I love that.
Right? So, awesome. Bob, you take that little goldfinch.
Yes.
Prosperity and happiness and go to town with it. That sounds good to me.
Well, and you know, we do, birds get territorial when nesting. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And we know that as well. I've had yellow finches try to nest by my house too, but I like the other thing better. I mean, if she's looking at him, the picture looks like she's looking right at him, right?
Well, and it keeps flying to the
right
tree.
And that's, yeah.
So then the bird wouldn't be reflected in the window if the bird's in the tree. So why would he keep going back to the window, or she or it or whatever? Why would it keep going back to the window if there's no bird in the window, because the bird's not there, it's in the tree? Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's a sign.
Means something. And you know, it's like, you know, we talk about different birds mean different things. Like we always talk about the crows and the, you know, when they come around, it's like, what are you trying to tell me? Because they do tell us things a lot, you know, and I know for a while there, you know, there was a couple of, there was a crow that was always in my yard, and it was like, she would fly over my head and just say, here I am. And then she would fly and sit on a branch and look at me for a while. And then she'd go out in the front yard, and then there she was in the backyard again. It's like, what are you trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. Something's changing or something's happening. And whatever.
I love animal messengers. Mm-hmm. I think they're very helpful.
It's just like when we were up in the woods and those ginormous ravens were like squawking at us and looking at us from behind trees, remember? And then when we got out of that one spot, they left us alone. It was like the danger had passed. Now you can move on, remember?
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
That was cool.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yes.
There. That's...
You gotta pay attention. Yeah.
It is. It is about paying attention. Yeah. So, and sometimes we don't know what to pay attention to, which is kind of a trick. So, but when you get something, it's just, it's neat, you know, and if you don't want it, then say, I'm not ready for this, or I don't want it, or go away. You were a creep in the living time. So, you know, it's like, I didn't like you when you were alive. I don't want you around now, or whatever it is, you know, or I'm just not ready to process this or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I just think it's interesting stuff. But I'd love to maybe do this topic again. So if you guys have other stories that you want to send us, you can go to our website and send us in the contact form at thegatheringradio.com. You can send us a email through the contact form, and it'll give us that's how I got this one today from Mark. And you can go on the Facebook page too.
You can private message us, or you can just send us a text in the... But I think
we're done. I hear our music coming
on.
So.
We're hearing our music.
Thank you.
Get off.
Yes, 2 weeks. You can't make it up now. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Para X, for hosting us. Thank you, everyone, for listening and chatting and sending good stuff. And thank you, Sarge, for producing.
Absolutely. And we'll be back next week live and in charge. And it'll be a good one.
Well, it always is. Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.